This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. I agree with Missoula. Part of why I like their defense last night, I don't care they gave up 117. I felt like they defended last night, especially early. The effort was there. I think the word that Kenny Atkinson, the coach on the other side, used was they had playoff force. They came out and treated it like it was a playoff game, and I agree with that. It's why I was okay with their defense against Golden State, too. They lost that game, and they gave up a bunch of points. But that's a highly skilled offensive team on the other side, and you can tell when the Celtics are defending with effort and force and when they're just giving up easy runs to the rim. I mean, it's the NBA. Teams are going to score 110.
Oh,
that's going to happen.
Easy. Yep.
But how easy are the buckets on the other end? And I felt like Cleveland had to work for baskets last night.
Oh, yeah. Even by the end, some of those ones that made it close, like those Donovan Mitchell shots, there's like five guys in the league are hitting those shots.
What are you
like,
going to do on those? That's really how I evaluate their defense. Uh-huh. Why I hated their effort night one against the Knicks is it was the effort. It was just easy, wide open paint, guys walking in and taking free layups. I hate that. And last night, the Cavs had to work. Golden State had to work in their win. I agree. The Celtics matched the physicality of Cleveland on the other side. So we'll get to this here on Jones and Keefe. We're going to move Would You Rather today. Typically, that's at 11:20.
All right.
On a Would You Rather Wednesday, because Don Sweeney's scheduled to speak literally at any moment. Could be any moment
now. All right, I'm all ears.
We've been told Bruins practice. We have no specific time. Bruins practice is underway.
Okay.
And so Don Sweeney could be speaking at any moment. You'll hear the latest on why Jim Montgomery was fired, what the plans are going forward, how they feel about Joe Sacco, et cetera, right here on WEEI. In the meantime, let's continue talking Celtics. The idea that Jason Tatum came out angry last night. I like the angry Tatum. Yeah. That's the Tatum I wanted against Golden State.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one that, you know, it's not realistic to get that guy 82 nights of the year, but you thought, all right, you got him against Cleveland, undefeated, for, you know, first place in the Eastern Conference. It's a TNT game. I usually look at those games, and I know the Celtics have a million of them, but the TNT, ESPN, ABC games, it seems like players across the league get a little bit hyped for those games. And it really was kind of like a showcase game last night, and he came out swinging and had one of his best games of the year. The quarter, he had some weird stat in the first quarter. Not weird stat, some impressive stat in the first quarter. Like the first guy to have like 8 points, five boards, three assists, two steals, something like that.
This is the difference in where we were watching, I think, last night. You were watching on NBC Sports Boston last night, Keith. Did not get that. Is not a national, that was not a graphic we got on the national broadcast on TNT. No, that sounds like a weirdo.
They were sure to highlight
deep, very pro Celtics highlight that they had.
That's the first time that's happened?
Yeah. I was unaware of that stuff.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah. Like, all right. But he was great. And you could see when he's hitting his threes, as you said before, and the team is hitting their threes, it's almost comical how good they are and how demoralizing it must be for the other team. Because they really do, like, the guys that are on the floor, they fit so well together. They work so well together. And they did that even last year, their first year together. Like, I was amazed how Holiday's one thing, but even Porzingis last year, like, he and Jaylen Brown had, like, a great game together. And you're like, wow, it took Jaylen Brown and Tatum, like, 5 years to be able to work well off each other. And Holiday, White, and Porzingis just kind of, like, fit right in with these guys. And so, yeah, they were doing a good. The ball movement was off the charts last night, and they were getting wide open threes.
Yeah. Quick text, 37937. Did you get nervous at the end they could lose? Depends on your definition of the end, like not the tail end of the game. That was all.
No.
That didn't concern me at all. The late third, early fourth, that concerned me. Cleveland felt like they were in the game.
It showed that you're like, all right, Cleveland's not dead. They're not going to just like leave because they're giving up some threes. Donovan Mitchell can help, you know, push a team back into the game. I still didn't feel like they were going to lose. No. And also kind of surprising.
Well, but in that stretch I did, the final like 3 minutes is all fake. Like that's the end of an NBA game where it's like you're going to hit your free throws. They need prayer threes and they need you. They need an inbound steal. Like the tail end of the game, Cleveland was never going to win. But late third, early fourth, I was a little nervous about it.
I just thought they could withstand that and then come back. And what was surprising to me is when the game got super close like that, you go back and look at it, how many times they actually went to the hoop. There was a bunch of times where there was Tatum, Brown, White, getting a two, and you're like, oh yeah, good, you can do that. Like, and you know, there wasn't a ton of resistance then because early in the game it seemed like the Cavs were letting them shoot a lot of threes, which I don't know if was the best strategy.
No, I don't think so
either. But then in the second half, they, or the third quarter, when they like needed a bucket, they didn't just settle for threes to kind of get them back with, you know, get the lead going again. They went to the hoop.
So no, I give them credit. They only took 41. It felt like they were launching last night because they were hitting everything, but they only took 41 threes. I think you saw, you know, how quickly it can go away when they're not making threes, but they only took 41. Like that, that was a good sign last night. The way they defended, their effort level, I think was a good sign last night. And Tatum was a really good sign. I'd have to go through every single game and really evaluate it, but that felt like his best performance last night.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, rebounding, assists, scoring, efficiency. And I love the edge he played with last night. I wish he brought that to Steve Kerr in Golden State. I wish he had that.
I know.
You could tell. He was confident in his three. The way he was releasing the ball all last night, he had like a little dance and a little wiggle after every three he hit. He did his little kiss after a few threes. The Niang play was great, where Niang flopped. That was the end of the third. He flopped. That was a flop. I know Tatum does plenty of crying and whining to the officials, but Tatum was right on that one. Niang flew 20 feet
down to the
baseline.
Yeah.
That was a flop from that frumpy idiot. He goes flying across the paint.
He's a gamer. He's crafty. And Tatum, I missed one. He's from Methuen.
I did see that text from Dice.
He's not from Haverhill. That's
but so, so Tatum, apologies to Methuen.
Yeah.
But, you know, so Tatum looks over the camera. He's like, F out of here with this guy. Like, I love that. I want more of that from Tatum. You don't get enough of it. He doesn't care enough. Or at least outwardly, it doesn't look like he cares enough.
No.
And he floats too much. The only people he ever directs his anger at are the officials. I love that last night out of Tatum.
Good.
And I don't think it's a coincidence you got that kind of performance. I think there's a correlation.
Niang, it could be a good villain in a playoff series.
Yeah.
He was barking every shot he made. He's like barking at the crowd. Like, you're like, all right, bud.
If they get Max Strus back, get ready for another hater.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That was when he was with Philly, I think, right?
Yeah.
And he grabbed his leg.
Yeah.
Why not? No, but that's the thing is, like, that might be their best competition in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, I know they made it a game in the third quarter and all of that, but that literally, in my opinion, is the second best team. We'll see as the season goes, you know, do they dip a little bit? Does somebody else come up and kind of take that torch? And it's like right now, Eastern Conference playoffs, every other matchup is probably pretty competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New York versus Cleveland or, you know, whoever ends up making the playoffs. Like, those are probably decent series. And then against the Celtics, you're like, oh, you almost want to spot them a couple of games to make it close.
New York's still, I think that's New York's a bigger threat. They just have higher end talent. The Cavs just, again, it's Donovan Mitchell and I do not like Garland's game. I don't like it.
No.
I like their bigs-ish. I think Mobley played well last night. I still don't love him.
You think Towns is way better than Mobley? Or is it kind of closer?
That's probably close.
Yeah, it's probably not that. I mean, Brunson's great. I like Mitchell.
I would take Mitchell over Brunson.
Yeah, me too.
I think I would.
But Brunson's good.
Brunson is good.
Yeah.
But I just think the Knicks, again, you're talking about going four or five guys deep, and I like those players better.
I mean, the top six teams in the East right now, besides the Celtics and the Cavs, are the Magic, Knicks, Hawks, and Heat. Only four of them have a winning record. You know, the Magic have a winning record now because they've won six in a row.
The Hawks have a winning record?
No.
Oh, okay.
The Magic, Knicks, Celtics, and Cavs. Four teams in the East have a winning record, which is up from two a couple weeks ago.
Not great. 617-779-7937. Our pal Josh is in Nashua. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Jones and Keith. How's it going,
fellas? What's up? It's going great.
Hey, I just wanted to say the Celtics game was electric last night. Like, you know, you had Derek White out there blocking shots. You had Tatum hitting big shots. You know, I woke up this morning and I saw Donovan Mitchell at 35, but I felt like it was like that sort of like an empty 35, one of the emptiest 35s I have ever heard of.
Well, like, he was invisible in the first half. He and Garland were missing everything in the first half. I felt like there were stretches where Mitchell took over. I wouldn't call it empty, but it wasn't throughout the full game, that's for sure.
It wasn't like 35 and they lost by 20. You know, that's more of an empty 35. I thought he was a big reason why they closed the gap.
Yep.
And, yeah, when he had the ball and he's hitting some of those big shots, I mean, they covered the spread, I guess, is one way to look at it. So if you picked the Cavs plus 5.5, you're like, thank you, Donovan Mitchell. No, I thought he was pretty good overall in the game. He mentioned Derek White blocking shots. Yep. I know going into the year, his goal was to average a block a game. He's over that right now. 1.1 blocks per game. And he's kind of turned himself into one of the best defensive guards, like, in a while.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
you like him better than Holiday?
I like them both.
It flips in the playoffs, though. Like, it does. Game 1 through 82, I'll take Derek White, his effort night in and night out. In a playoff game, I need a big stop. I think Holiday's a better defender when he's locked in.
Yeah, I guess. And, you know, maybe he's older, even if he's, so he saves it a little bit
that's
more.
What I'm saying.
So
even if he's lost a step or even like a step and a half from his prime, when Holiday locks in and if he's saving it for the post, you saw it last year. Those Indiana games, you saw it last year.
But I think they have the two best defensive guards in the league.
I mean, they might.
It's pretty crazy because, like, White's blocking these shots. And then you're right, Holiday plays so much bigger than he is, or like height wise. You know what I mean? Like, he can guard a bunch of different spots. But yeah, they got to be a nightmare for guys going up against them. I mean, that's Trae Young from a few weeks ago, what it's like going up against those guys.
One guy we've not mentioned today, text line has been calling it out, and it's true. Horford was great last night.
Horford was awesome.
20 points, 7 rebounds, 4 threes, 3 blocks, plus 18, best on the team. Horford was great.
Yep.
And so this is why I say they don't need Porzingis. I don't know that you're going to get games like that in the NBA Finals with Horford, but...
No, but I think he even proved last year, like, there's a game or two per series.
Yeah.
You can't rely on it for all of them. But that's what Brown and Tatum are for. Like, Brown and Tatum need to be good every game. And then if you have the Derek White game, you win a series. You have an Al Horford game, you win a series. You might even have a Peyton Pritchard game the way his season's going.
Yeah.
And then you become kind of unbeatable because you should have the two constants. And, you know, even Derek White has sort of flirted with being like a third constant. You know what I mean? Like a guy that you're like, all right, well, you're going to get his points and his production. And then you have, like, Holiday, Horford, the guys on the bench become sort of like the others.
You see White after the game last night with his Sam Adams beer?
Yeah, is he going to get fined for that?
I don't know. It's a good question. Tatum should pay it if he does.
I was going to say, because that's not – it's a stupid rule, but I feel like if it's not
– Gatorade.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not endorsed by the league.
Well, Tatum, like – and it just shows you how much of a – maybe he was kidding around, but, like, what a corporate shill Tatum is to, like, move it out of the way. He's like –
can't have this. I like Derek White. Like, Derek White, talk about relatable.
Yeah.
Wins a big game, has a couple brew dogs, goes home.
You covered the Celtics when Sheed was here. That was Sheed's move. Sheed was
chugging
down a couple of brew dogs, standing there talking to the media after games.
I loved
Rasheed
Wallace.
In the locker, it was the best.
He's the man.
I didn't like him so much in game 7 of 2010 against the Lakers.
Sucked.
I think those beers came back to bite him.
Get a rebound.
But.
Get all rebound.
But
Rasheed,
I did very much enjoy talking to him, and I loved after a game, standing in his locker, popping Bud Lights right in front of you.
Love that.
That was great.
Uh-huh.
Very relatable.
Yes.
From Derek White. And I like how Derek White's like, well, this is what you should be drinking after the game. Tatum's like, yeah. He's like, I think so.
I don't know. It's like, I'm getting paid for it.
I don't know. Works for me.
Pretty good.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the Celtics, their big win last night. Anybody beating them in the Eastern Conference? And was that the best game we've had this year? At a Jason Tatum. You can jump in there. We'll get back to the Bruins as well. No more Monty. We all saw that coming. Now what for the Bruins? Don Sweeney scheduled to speak. At any moment, we'll hit the podium and hear from him right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
I'm going to disagree with Milbury on that.
Yeah, me too.
I think it is somewhat, I mean, it's obviously on Lindholm, but it's more on Montgomery than it is Sweeney that Lindholm sucks. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's on Lindholm. It's on the player.
Yeah.
But Sweeney went out and spent and got him.
I know.
He got you a top line top six center, let's call him. He might not be a top line guy.
Yeah.
But
arrow pointing down.
What we all felt was a top six guy when they signed him. We all thought that.
Yeah.
So why am I going to turn around and accuse Sweeney of that? Montgomery got nothing out of him, and he's getting nothing out of the roster. So I'm not going to let Montgomery slide on that. Montgomery was a problem. He might not have been the problem. The players were all checked out. Sweeney and Neely let their coach be a lame duck. So that's what I blame Sweeney for. You didn't pick a lane with your coach, and it let the players check out. They took the carte blanche and walked all over him. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to absolve Montgomery for getting nothing out of Lindholm. That is kind of his problem.
So last year they had 109 points in the regular season. They were 1 point behind Florida for the Atlantic Division, right? Florida, pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
So you took last year's team and you brought back your top six goal scorers, your best defenseman, your best goalie of the two.
Yeah.
You brought all that back. You added Lindholm and Zadorov. So
I'm with Milbury on Zadorov. He stinks.
But even if both those guys stink, and I think Lindholm, it's frustrating and he's playing poorly, but at the time, that's not revisionist history to be like, well, what a bum, never should have signed him. No, that was a good, most people thought it was a good signing at the time. You haven't gotten a lot out of him. But there's no way that team on paper should be where they're at right now, whatever they're on pace for, like 70-something points or whatever it is, like the 80 points. They should be a lot better than that, and it's not roster-wise. Like, 2 years ago, I know I keep going back to this, but 2 years ago when you lost Bergeron and Krejci, you could have been like, I don't know, like how's this going to play out? Like, that's a pretty major loss. Well, you had a whole season. You made the playoffs. You won a round without those guys. So now you're bringing back Coyle and Zacha to go along with like your stars and Pastrnak and Marchand. I don't know. Call me crazy. I just don't think the players are living up to expectation. I don't think the roster stinks, though.
So the roster should be better than a year ago.
Yeah.
They lost DeBrusk, Grizzlick, and Ullmark, who I never liked. I'm not going to turn
don't
around and pretend.
Danton Heinen.
Sorry, and Danton Heinen and JVR. And that's like other scrubs.
Yeah, who is the best player they lost? Maybe Ullmark, right, if you're talking about splitting the goalies. The best skater was probably Jake DeBrusk. So if we think the
none
season
of us like Jake.
Nobody wanted him.
None of us like Jake DeBrusk.
No,
I'm not crying about losing Jake DeBrusk.
But he's the reason why they're in this spot. And so, like, how crazy is that? If anybody out there is complaining about Don Sweeney not bringing back Jake DeBrusk, that's insane to me. Like, that should not be why this season has been derailed.
So, again, I liked the Lindholm signing. I legitimately thought that was good. I went along with the Zadorov signing because I'm like, people tell me he's a top four guy, so I'll believe it. Good, they needed a top four guy. Turns out he stinks. I didn't know enough about him. Turns out he can't play. So, that one, I listened to people on and I shouldn't have. I love the Swayman signing. Swayman's not playing well. So, I didn't hate the roster coming into the year. Their roster clearly should be in the postseason. So why aren't they maximizing the talent on the roster? That was about Monty to me. And now that Jim Montgomery's gone, it's going to be on Don Sweeney and Cam Neely to fix it. And if they don't, at the end of the year, if the Bruins miss the playoffs, they could, I don't know that they will, they could and probably should pay for it with their jobs. So now they're on the clock. But yeah. I didn't hate the roster going into the year. I don't get why people are more angry with Sweeney than they are with Montgomery, who's getting nothing out of the roster. 37937, real quick, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Monty told him to go out and be crappy. No, that wasn't it. But Monty's message isn't getting through. And again, if I want to be angry at Sweeney and Neely for something, it's that they let Montgomery be a lame duck coach and the players walked all over him.
Yeah,
that to me is the biggest criticism of those two.
Right. And I'm not putting all the blame on Montgomery either, but if you're looking right now between the two, did Sweeney give Montgomery a worse roster, or did Montgomery not get enough out of said roster?
Second thing.
I think it's that second thing
as well.
I completely
agree.
So last year, Charlie Coyle finished the year third on the team in points with 60 points. Charlie Coyle.
Mm-hmm.
He's on pace this year for 20. Pavel Zacha last year had 59 points. I'll round up. He also had 60 points.
Yep.
Pavel Zacha. He is on pace for 30.
Ooh, that sounds high.
So half, yeah, it is surprising.
Yeah.
No, but he's on pace for half of his output.
Yep.
And Coyle's on pace for a third of his output. So, I mean, that alone is obviously not good enough. But, like, you had four 20-goal scorers last year, all back on the team. You had a guy that we thought was going to be a Vezina candidate back on the team, but he stinks. So, no, I think the player, like, but this all goes back to the same thing. Anytime you see a coach get fired in any sport, you're like, well, the players really kind of probably let him down. It's like, yeah, okay. But you can't move on from every player. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to move on from some of these players and try to make some changes to this roster. But
when you say move on, hang on. You think, because I think they'll either try to make a hockey trade one for one to like upgrade the team and change the chemistry in the room, or maybe they even are outright trying to make deals to add to the team. But you don't think they're subtracting big ticket players and blowing it up,
I don't
right?
think so.
I mean, that's not what the Jacobs family wants to do. They don't want to go to the bottom of the league.
I think they only have four players that would fit that criteria, and all but Marchand are under contract for a long time. I mean, they just got to this point with Swayman.
Right.
It took them forever to get that. So I think those
four guys, I would assume,
are safe.
If you get to March 7th and you're out of it and it's a lost season and Marchand's in the last year of his deal, could they trade Marchand, their captain? Could they do that at the deadline to try to get a second-round pick and a prospect or something? Maybe in March. Come back to me on that.
I mean, they all have, like, no trade clauses or, like, limited.
But if you're Marchand and you're missing the playoffs, don't you want to go somewhere?
Yeah, maybe you want to go playoff team. Yeah, sure. Maybe.
I would think. I like to think that about him.
Although hockey's weird. There are more guys that are like, I'll play for one team. Like and Bergeron and Krejci, like, they play for one team.
Oh, yeah, or just don't want to move like Allmark.
Or like Allmark,
yeah.
Right. I mean,
I see what you're saying. They want to play for one
but
team.
But there are guys that literally play
for one
team.
Maybe he values that, maybe.
No, but either way, I get your point.
But I don't think Pastrnak and McAvoy or Swayman are going anywhere. Now, I would listen on any of those guys in the right kind of deal.
Yeah.
But I would be loath to trade Pastrnak, but you're telling me I get like a real stud center? Fine, come talk to me. McAvoy, I don't love. You know, Swayman, the way he's playing, I don't think you'd get anything for him, but sure, I'll listen on anybody on my roster. But I don't think they're looking to move those guys. I think it's far more likely they're looking to make a move to compete than blow it up.
So Dan on Twitter tweeted me, at Keefe21, can we blame Cam and Sweeney for having zero prospects? So I think this is different. If you want to get on Sweeney for some of the drafts or the whole like development or of like these young guys and like what's in the pipeline, sure. But I think right now what I'm more focused on is this season. Like, where are they going with this team on this season? Because I think their NHL roster is decent enough. It's not amazing. I'm not trying to tell you like Stanley Cup or bust, but it's a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I would say. It's a valid criticism of Sweeney, and they drafted very poorly.
No, that's part of it.
That's totally part of it. But, you know, they made the playoffs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They made the playoffs 8 years in a row.
Yeah.
And that's not winning the cup. They've been to a cup final in that run. They've only been beyond the second round one time. It was when they went to the cup final. And that was gift wrap for them. I mean, that was a red carpet walk.
That was amazing.
To the Stanley Cup final.
Every good team lost.
And they should have won that cup final.
They really should have.
Lost to Jordan Binnington and the Blues.
Yep.
So they made the playoffs 8 years in a row. Like, yes, it's a problem that Sweeney is drafted poorly, but I don't know. He's been drafting poorly for a while, and you're typically a playoff team. So that I mean, yeah, that's on the list. And again, if they don't make the playoffs this year, and they crash and burn, and it looks like a disaster at the end of the year, Sweeney and Neely could lose their jobs. The pressure's now on them. This move needs to spark the team.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, players are going to move, and those guys might lose their jobs at the end of the year. They should, in my estimation, lose their jobs at the end of the year. But right now, let's see if this changes anything. It's hockey. This can easily change again. There's a list of teams that have fired their coach in season, gone on to win the cup that year. I'm not saying that's the Bruins, but could it spark them to make the playoffs and be where we all expect them to be, second round of the postseason or something like that? Yeah, absolutely. That's the goal right now, is to spark the team back to our preseason expectations.
Also, is the draft thing a little overrated or no? Because they've also traded a lot of first-round picks in order to improve the team at the deadline. He did draft Charlie McAvoy and Trent Frederick and Jeremy Swayman. And, I mean, Low Ryan Beecher, if you like those guys at all. I don't know. I mean, he's drafted some guys, and he's also given up so many picks in order to help the team at
deadlines. Well, that's true. And look, his trades have been good. And so would I rather have him draft well or make NHL trades where they're impacting? I'd rather have him do the second thing.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, the drafting is real poor. And even some of the guys maybe a year ago or in the offseason you felt good about, Patra, Lorai,
Yeah, you feel less good about
Pacho's
it.
Pacho's back in Providence, and Lorai the other night was an embarrassment.
But at least the core of the good NHL players is young. So it's not like you have all old guys and no farm system. Mm-hmm. Like, at least your star players should be good for a while. I mean, it doesn't excuse, like, yeah, you want to draft better. Of course you want to draft better. But he usually wins the trades, I feel like.
No, 100%. That I'll give him. So, like, maybe these free agents come back to bite him. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
But I would say recently in free agency, it's been pretty good. I would say the trades have definitely been good. The draft's been bad. But that's still a net positive on Sweeney as a GM.
Do you think there's a scenario, and not to go too big picture with it, that Don Sweeney's gone and Cam Neely's here? Or, like, are those guys so attached now that it's like you got to get rid of both?
I think if someone was going to go, it would be Sweeney before Neely, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, again, it's just like one other layer of protection, right? Like,
yeah.
Cam is above Don in that scenario.
They might be a package deal, but if I had to guess, Sweeney goes, Neely survives if one of them survives.
How are we going to get scoops then?
That's a good point.
I'll tune in to find out.
Your high school classmate there, Don
That's
Sweeney.
True.
That is
You'll
true.
See.
Or, yeah. And or, because I've seen this one. This was tweeted at me.
Oh, yeah, it might dry up.
Keith's such a movie buff that it must be Seabass.
Oh, it could be Seabass.
Cam Neely.
That's true. I should get him on the Dork podcast sometime.
You should.
Just to talk about his movie role.
Well, not just the ultimate jock.
Not just the ultimate jock. No, he appeared in Dumb and Dumber as Seabass.
Dead man that hit me with the salt shaker.
We're now getting, I'm sorry. Can you, Nick, tell me what you heard from the Bruins practice? Sweeney might now be talking when?
It might be afternoon. So it's really
Bruins.
A moving target on
Keith,
this thing.
You really threw him off yesterday with your scoop.
They're not
prepared. They had like a whole plan. They don't know when he's going to speak. They said during practice, we heard 11:30.
Apparently
we'll see.
The media was told don't be there any later than 11:15. So everybody's like, oh, maybe it's closer to 11:15.
Classic,
it was
classic
not.
Bruins.
What a mess.
What's going on at noon?
Meanwhile,
what are they waiting for?
Gerard Mayo jumps it by 5 minutes every time. He's always like early to his press conferences. Now these guys are just going to, it's like a moving target.
Okay. Right. So anyway, let's knock out some phone calls here in the meantime. When Sweeney hits the podium, you're going to hear it here live on WEEI. Some would say Boston's hockey station, the way all these scoops have been going with Rich Keefe. Let's go to, I don't know if I like the subject line here.
No, this could be good.
Ray in Cumberland. Hello?
What do you got, Ray?
Hey, what's up, Jones?
What's up, Ray?
Keith, good job killing it.
Thank you.
Show's been great lately. I love it.
Thank
but
you.
I got a question for you guys. Who on the Bruins is legitimate top six forwards besides Pastrnak and Lindholm? Because I don't see anyone on the roster.
I don't know why you're lumping in Lindholm.
Yeah, maybe Lindholm is not.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just being generous.
Okay.
No. I was just being generous because of the 12 games, but because Marchand's a little old now. I love Brad Marchand, but I don't think he's a top six player anymore.
Yeah,
and
he is.
Morgan Geekie got cut by the Kraken. Zaka couldn't cut it on the second line in Jersey years ago. I just don't see who's,
okay,
who's
but Ray,
supposed to
but,
score.
He couldn't cut it in Jersey years ago, but he was fine last year. So
yeah.
Let's just focus on that. If we're going to be fair, who's playing like a top six player right now? Maybe no one.
It's maybe nobody.
Like, why are you even giving it to
Mark Kastelic?
Don't give it to don't give it to Lindholm.
Cole Koepke? He's pretty good.
Don't give it to Pastrnak. Pastrnak's not playing well.
Yeah, but top six in
no, no.
the league?
Who's playing like a top six player?
Oh, no, they're all underperforming.
This is what I'm
That's
saying.
Another Milbury point today.
Yeah.
Everybody's playing like under they
who
should.
Who are actual top six guys in the league? Pastrnak, Marchand, not necessarily in that order. Lindholm is a top six player in the league when he's right. He's
I was
not right.
Say, what is that, 90-something guys?
Like, Zaka, right? I would say they probably have five out of their top six. Did I get five or four? How many did I name?
I think you ended up with four.
Who, and Coyle Coyle a top six guy, or is Coyle better in the bottom? He's better in the bottom six, but I think he's a guy you can get away with in your top six. If he's your second line center, is that ideal? No. But is that top six for most of the league? Yes. Is it championship level top six? Maybe
There's
not.
There's 192 players who are top six forwards.
Yeah.
I think those guys are top six forwards.
Okay.
They're not playing great.
But still, they're a guy short, to his point. Is Geeky a top six player? Frederick a top six? I like Frederick. He's not a top six guy.
The call screen said he was your number one fan, but he didn't really
Well, he said, Keith, great job. He said, Jones,
killing it.
Great job lately or something like that. Yeah,
right.
He said, Keith, you're killing it, Jones. Great job lately. I love it.
Billy, did he have a lot of compliments for Jones when he called in? Was that what his name?
Jacob took it.
Jacob took it, my bad.
That was a former intern, Jacob, who took it. This is a callback to other criticisms he's had, or that was straight up? Thumbs up? Oh, thumbs up.
He loves it.
Oh, Jones fan. Okay, I thought
he was going to maybe expound on that a little bit
I'm
more.
I'm so bad at taking compliments, I was...
Yeah.
Like
Ready
we
to move
said,
on to the next thing.
Said this before, Keith.
I don't believe
it. Oh, you're my fan?
Oh, you like the show?
Oh, you like
yeah,
what we
sure
do here? You
do.
Like my work? Yeah, okay. No. Get out of my face, pal.
I don't take it.
Take a hike, bud.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, thank you, Ray. Zach is up in Maine. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Congrats on the scoop, Keith.
Thank you, Zach.
Anyway, I wanted to defend Don Sweeney's drafting a little bit.
Okay.
Interesting.
First off, they're drafting 25th to 30th every year because of how they finish in the standings.
Heard this about
But Bill. He's also drafted McAvoy, Pastrnak, Swayman in the third round, Carlo in the third round. So you draft an 18-year-old kid, it is also a crapshoot on how they develop.
Too. Was he Pasta?
He did not draft Pasta.
I didn't think he was Pasta.
No, he did not draft Pasta.
I think that was still Shirelli, believe it or not.
Yeah, that was his first draft was the Zboril-DeBrus-Sinishin debacle.
Yeah,
they also got Carlo. The year after that, he got Charlie McAvoy and Trent Frederick. The year after that, Jeremy Swayman in the fourth round. The year after that, nobody, but didn't have a first-round pick. The year after that, John Beecher with the 30th overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
2020, no first-rounder. Mason Lowry in the second.
No, your defense, Keith, was the best one. It's just that he trades all the picks,
He
doesn't make a lot of
He's the best, Rams.
That's the best defense.
Yeah, he is the LA Rams.
He's the Rams without the championship.
2023, yes. They didn't have a first or a second round pick. 2022, they didn't have a first or a third. So, like, yeah, there's just not a lot of guys to be had. But the highest pick that he had was 14th overall, and he got Charlie McAvoy.
Yeah.
Or no. Zboril was 13th, excuse me. So Zboril, actually, he has to wear that one. But
look, I'm not defending his drafting. His drafting has been bad. But I would rather have a GM, if I got to choose now, you want your GM to be good at drafting and signing and trading. Like, ideally, that's what you want. But now I got to pick. I would rather be good at these trade deadline deals and these offseason deals and winning these trades and giving up my first-round picks and not waiting on prospects as opposed to the draft and development. I mean, I say that all the time about the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I don't care that Dombrowski traded all your prospects. I never gave two craps about that. In a perfect world, you do both. In a perfect world, you're Theo. But I would way rather the Dombrowski model than the Ben Cherington, Chaim Bloom, it seems, Craig Breslow. I would rather that, and Sweeney to me is more in that vein. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but you got to win it, though, too. Like, so
correct.
Dombrowski
all those
wins
guys
it,
won.
And
that's
like, all those guys you mentioned that's, win it, and like totally you were so
fair.
Close, and that's why that Blues loss is just so bad. It's
that's
bad
totally
for everybody,
fair.
Because like that gives you even more time. Because you're like, well, listen, we sold out all these draft picks, but like we got another cup.
Right, so compare him to, he's the opposite of Bloom, I guess. Because, right, Cherington won, Dombrowski won.
Yeah.
He'd be the counter to Chaim Bloom in that scenario. But you're right. You got to win.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you Sweeney is back next year. But right now, if the team wakes up and the roster lives up to the hype that we had for the preseason, we were excited in free agency. I don't have major problems with the roster. It's not a perfect roster. But let's see if firing the coach sparks the team. And if it doesn't, he could pay for it with his job. I don't rule that out.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. We'll continue with more of this next. Jones, and if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, Scoops Keefe. Yes, that is Rich Keefe's face in a scoop of, I'm not sure what kind of ice cream that is.
Maybe strawberry?
You think
so? Yeah, with like the chunks of strawberry.
I was thinking like a peppermint type of
not one of my favorite
cream.
Ice creams.
Strawberry?
No.
My son loves it. I don't really
my
like
daughter
it
likes it, too. Although credit to her, she gets like a different kind every time, which is nice.
Meaning, like, when you go to an ice cream shop or when you go to, like, the grocery store?
No, like, to an ice cream shop.
Got
it. Like, pick a different one, which is good. But I usually end up eating what's left over, and I'm like, not strawberry.
Yeah,
not
please.
She's like, I'm a strawberry. I'm like, son of a.
I'm
like, I'll still eat it.
Three quarters of ice cream I am going to eat, but don't really.
I'm for sure going to eat that.
Truly want. Good text here by the text line, 37937. Hey, Keith, any endorsements from Raisin Bran? Two scoops, Keith.
Ooh, that'd be good.
It sounds a little limiting, though. I mean, Raisin Bran, we're not going to turn you away, but two scoops.
Yeah.
That kind of shortchanges you.
Yeah, somebody referenced the
it's a Frito scoop. It's a Tostito scoop.
Oh, nice. That's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that one.
That'd be good.
Frito scoops are the top. Just amazing.
Oh, I love those.
Those are nice.
Real nice.
So salty.
They'll dry out. They will dry you
so
out.
So delicious.
Yeah. You need a lot of liquid.
Well, let me just tell you, the scoops are not drying up, I don't think, for Keith.
Nope.
We'll have more on the Bruins beat. I say this, not tongue-in-cheek, no sarcasm whatsoever. There's no one with more scoops on the Bruins in this city than Rich Keefe. And the whole beat is very
they
salty about it and angry about it.
They hate it so much.
Probably because they hate their jobs and themselves.
Maybe.
But no one has more scoops, more information, breaks more stories on the Bruins than Rich Keefe. Simple scoreboard. You can go back and reference it yourself. But there's a laundry list of them. So that was another good one. Monty out. We'll get back to that. Who knows when Don Sweeney is speaking? It was supposed to be in the 11 o'clock hour. So we've been to our last check-in.
Well, what are we going
to
say?
Our last check-in was it was going to be noon.
Yeah.
No. Now the latest is it could be, quote-unquote, much later than noon.
So who knows?
So the Bruins don't know what they're doing, shockingly.
Uh-huh.
So here's what we're going to do. We already moved Would You Rather. We're going to move it again, and we're going to do it right now,
okay.
Billy.
Let's go.
All right, first question. Would you rather Juan Soto or Corbin Burns and Alex Bregman?
Soto or Corbin Burns and Alec Bregman?
I get choked up because Corbin Burns makes me want to say Corbin Burnson.
Yeah, what Burnson I say?
From Major League, but it's either just Soto or Burns and Bregman.
Yeah, I want Soto.
Roger Dorn.
I said earlier, I would rather the Red Sox miss the playoffs with Soto than make it with some, second-tier pitchers. Now, Burns is not that.
See, and Burns makes it intriguing to me.
I like Bregman a lot. I think Bregman would be a great signing, but what would I rather? I would rather they spend the $600 million or whatever and get a real game changer, a guy worth tuning in for, a superstar in Juan Soto.
Yeah, what puts it over the top for me, I'm also going Juan Soto, is he's in his mid-20s.
Yep.
So he's one of those guys that if you do sign him a 13-year deal, he should be good for almost all of it. Burns, I love him. Pitchers do scare me. Those guys get hurt all the time and always go down. And Bregman, I feel like, is on the back nine of his career. And if you want to put somebody with Duran, like, you're going to probably trade away some prospects, but you have such a young core anyway. So you love guys. Like, if you have Jaron Duran and Juan Soto in your outfield for years to come, and maybe Roman Anthony, like, that's pretty badass.
No,
like, I like the idea of matching up all these guys in their 20s.
So, real quick. Our guy Tomasi, John Tomasi, credited Scoops Keith yesterday.
Yes, he's another guy that will give me credit.
He heard a comment from Scott Boras and highlighted this. I want to say last week that Bregman would be open to playing second base. Does that change your mind at all? Where now Devers can stay at third, Bregman can plug in at second.
Well, yes and no, because I don't really think anybody wants Devers to play third base the rest of his time here. So he eventually is going to have to move, but they Bregman, do have a hole at second base.
And just if Bregman's dropping off a little bit, is he more playable at second than third? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I just wonder. Like, he had those 2 years back in the 18 and 19 where he was insane, and he's never reached that level again.
I just love that he's won. He's been to a million ALCSs. Like.
Last year, I want
someone with that pedigree here.
No, he's a winner, I guess you could say. Last year, he had 26 home runs and had an OPS of 768.
So that's
which was the lowest of his career.
Yeah, the home runs are good. I'll take 26 home runs.
26 bombs is solid,
but 768,
the worst OPS of his career.
And he's again, how old do you have in front of you?
30. Okay. Yeah, he's 30, or maybe he's 30.
He'll
be 31 for the season.
I would rather Soto, but look, Burns and Bregman, great plan B. Great plan B.
Oh, I'd be happy with both. We talk about like what would be a successful offseason. Because I don't think they're gonna get Juan Soto. It doesn't mean you can't have some wishful thinking, but when they don't get Soto, what do you do next? And if they came back with Burns and Bregman, I wouldn't be kicking and screaming.
No. So. What else we got, Billy?
Would you rather have Drake May and Gerard Mayo or Tua and Mike McDaniel?
I would rather have Drake. I want May and Mayo. That's what I want.
May and Mayo.
May. I don't want a downgrade, and I think it would be a downgrade, from May to Tua, and I'll just hold my nose and deal with Mayo.
Yeah.
Because I also think McDaniel got exposed. I think McDaniel got exposed when Tua was hurt.
I know. I really liked McDaniel when he first got the job. I was like, look at this little guy. Like, I'm interested in what he's up to. And then he got into the playoffs back-to-back years. And, like, it's weird with Tua because – you're right. Mike McDaniel's teams without Tua are terrible. But Tua before Mike McDaniel was almost like Jared Goff without McVay a little bit. And you're like,
a little bit.
Is this guy?
I think he was better than
Goff.
Than people give him credit for.
He was better than Goff.
And he always won games. The stats were not good. And they were not an electric offense. But they've not been an electric offense this year.
No.
They've been pretty poor.
They had the receivers, and it's a little bit different.
And by the way, with Tua, you have him this week. Do you have him beyond this week?
I don't think so.
Clunks his head off the ground, and I don't mean to say this, disparagingly.
Yeah.
But his career could be over at any second. That's a real reality with him.
Yeah.
So I want what the Patriots have more than that.
Because we had this question a couple weeks ago. Was it Williams and Eberflus or whatever it was? And it's like, I think it just goes to show you, take Drake May over most of these other young quarterbacks, and including Tua, and then, you have to figure out the coach. Because even in Miami – like, are you guaranteed that Mike McDaniel is going to be coaching a long time? If you had to choose between McDaniel and Mayo, let's say
I would choose McDaniel. Yeah.
So would I.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't love McDaniel, but just to illustrate the point on Tua. Tua was 6-3 as a rookie.
Yeah.
64% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, 5 picks. That's not great.
No, that's better than I thought, though.
He also was 7-5 with Brian Flores, or were both those years with Flores? 7-5, 68 completion percentage, 16-10. So they started making the playoffs with McDaniel, but yeah. I don't ever think Tua was that bad before McDaniel. I think he was better with McDaniel. I don't think he was terrible before that.
Okay.
What else, Billy?
Would you rather see Gladiator 2 or Wicked this weekend?
I'm going Gladiator 2. It might be the obvious answer for us. I think Wicked's getting a lot of buzz. People like Wicked. My wife really wants to see Wicked.
I love Ari.
Yep. She apparently puts on a tour de force. Might even get some Oscar buzz.
Really?
For Wicked. Yeah.
Wait, Ariana Grande or the other chick? I thought it was the other girl.
I think both.
Really?
I think both might be. I think it's a weird year, Oscar year. Not a lot of favorites. There's no Oppenheimer and Barbie like there was a year ago. Here's the thing I just heard about Wicked. It's part one. So like a lot of these movies now, like Dune and like Spider-Verse, it's like part one. It doesn't say it in the title.
Wait, it's Wicked 1?
Yeah, so there's going
to
be a Wicked 2?
The movie
two?
Goes up to where intermission would be in the musical.
So there's another Wicked after this.
Wicked 2?
This Wicked is 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh! How long's the play?
Get over yourself.
I think it's...
Seriously.
We know the story. Just tell it quick.
I mean,
we do a four-hour radio program every day, but, you know, it's shorter than that.
It's a good question. How long is the play? I bet it's that long. And then Gladiator 2 is like 2 hours, 25 minutes.
Not even a real question.
But Gladiator 2.
Gladiator 2.
Now, dude, Gladiator 1, I remember seeing that in high school with like a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
What a time. Holy mackerel, was Gladiator 1 a ride.
I heard Courtney talking about this the other morning in the news, but I had seen this story out there. Airbnb had like a whole experience where you could go to the Coliseum and like walk around like where the gladiators actually were to promote this film.
Yeah, nice.
That'd be sweet.
I'd go to the Coliseum.
Yeah. Denzel's in it. Is it Denzel's final movie? I think it is.
I don't think it's his final movie.
I thought he was retiring.
These guys never retire. Well, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis came out of retirement.
But right now, I believe it's scheduled to be his final movie,
Denzel thought. Denzel might get a supporting actor buzz.
How about that?
For the Oscars.
Okay, so we're both Gladiator.
Gladiator 2, no doubt. I think me and Davey might do a Dork podcast on it, by the way.
Nice.
So, yeah, let's see it.
Think? Wouldn't you do it anyway?
Yeah. No, we will.
Exactly.
We will. My bad.
We're doing it.
We will.
All right, last one. Would you rather?
I gotta be more affirmative.
Yeah.
Would you rather have turkey on Thanksgiving or any other meat?
I'll take this one. Look, I don't love turkey as a meat, but on Thanksgiving, it's perfect. On Thanksgiving, it's great. And I assume, based on the question, it's not like other Thanksgiving meats. Like, people eat prime rib or ham or something like that on these days, right? Or maybe I'm confusing Easter. But
ham, Easter's a big ham.
You're
day.
Saying I can have any meat, right? I can have a steak.
Sure,
I can have a burger.
Chicken parm.
Chicken parm.
Oh, have a Thanksgiving chicken parm.
I don't.
That sounds way better than turkey.
I don't love turkey, but it can have its day.
Yeah.
And I'll eat it on Thanksgiving. I would rather turkey.
I agree with you actually on this. I think turkey is good, and I think turkey.
Were you about to say for the birds? I felt like you were about to say for the birds.
No, it's not for the birds. It's not necessarily my favorite.
It is a bird.
I prefer it over other meats, and then I think it's just part of the Thanksgiving experience. I wouldn't want something else in there. I think it's a perfect combo with mashed potatoes and stuffing and the whole nine. Give me turkey. I think turkey's good. And if you hate turkey, you're not cooking it right.
What are you putting? Thank you. What are you putting cranberry sauce on? If it's not, you're not putting cranberry sauce on like a steak.
Probably not.
It doesn't go as well with all that other stuff.
No.
Stuffing and a steak? That. No, thank you.
Eggnog?
Ham?
Eggnog's perfect with turkey.
I don't even dislike ham, but
I think turkey gets a bad rap because turkey next week, we're going to be talking a lot more about turkey food or Thanksgiving food.
Spoiler alert.
And we're going to tier them.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Oh, yeah, we are.
People are like, turkey's trash. This holiday would be better if it wasn't turkey. Wrong.
Yeah.
Cook your turkey better.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect for that. I don't want to eat that every day of the year, but
I'm not trying to do that.
Light meat. Or white meat, dark meat.
But I'm not like, oh, hell yeah, big spiral ham time. Like,
white meat, dark meat.
Oh, dark meat.
Same.
Dark meat, big time.
Drumstick? You ever get
white
a drumstick?
White meat for the sandwiches after. A little Sammy?
Yeah.
White.
Or both.
White meat or both.
Yeah.
But I'll do drumstick. I'll be the guy at the table like an absolute animal.
You got to get, whoever cooked it gets first dibs on those things. But if you're not taking it, I'm in on those.
If it's there on the platter,
it's like
that.
A medieval fare.
As you're walking in your seat eating it, you're like, all right, buddy, you can't wait 2 seconds to sit down and eat your food.
Nope, I can't.
I got to eat this now. So it's almost time for Cooper Rush and the Cowboys against Tommy DeVito and the Giants.
I got to
sit down.
I want my nap in a half an hour. I'm eating now. So there you go. That is Would You Rather. Typically at 11:20, but thanks to the Bruins, had to move here today. We will hear from Don Sweeney at some point during the program. We'll get back to the Celtics as well. Big win for them in the NBA Cup last night. That's next.